The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tom Brady. Oh my goodness. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Amali Karam Rose. Max, it took me a lot not to tweet at you yesterday. This man is unreal. I know you're both a little sour today. That bad man got taken down. Let's get right into it.
Not sour.
Stephen A's at a loss for words for once here. The Bucs beat the Packers 31-26, sending Tom Brady to his 10th Super Bowl. But it was Matt LaFleur's decision to kick the field goal on fourth and goal that had everybody asking questions after the game. Listen up.
We essentially had four timeouts with the two-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI, and it didn't work out.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. I thought we, you know, maybe we're going to have four chances to go.
I think Aaron Rodgers needs a new environment, but that's a later discussion in the show. First, Stephen A., let's focus on that fourth and goal call. Did that cost Aaron Rodgers a trip to the Super Bowl?
I believe it did. I believe it did. And I mean when I say that it cost him, meaning it eradicated any chance that he had of pulling it off. That's all I mean by that. There were a lot of plays that preceded that, and we get all of that. We understand that this is a 60-minute football game, and we get it. We also understand that Tom Brady and his greatness and at age 43 and all that he accomplished, that's the kind of stuff that we'll be talking on about as the show progresses. But even though he was awful as a defensive coordinator, he was awful. Matt LaFleur, we're going back to LaFleur. We're not going LaFleur. We're going LaFleur. Right. Just for the purposes of the day. If it sounds disrespectful, to hell with it. Matt LaFleur.
They hit LaFleur
Matt
last
LaFleur,
night.
LaFleur, you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, this man, it was a straight choke job by the coach. If this were a player, we would call it a choke job. Matt LaFleur choked, played coach scared. Out of his damn mind, looked in over his head, and oh, by the way, at the end of the day, ended up reminding you why it was questionable why he was named the head coach of the Green Bay Packers to begin with. Because for those of you who don't remember, this was the man who presided over the 27th ranked offense in the National Football League in the Tennessee Titans when he was hired as the coach of the Green Bay Packers. In a day and age when the Eric Bieniemies, who's number one in practically every category, can't get a job, Matt LaFleur is the head coach of a team quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers. You started off the season screwing him over because you had a succession plan that you put right in front of his face by drafting Jordan Love, and you ended the season by taking the ball out of the hands of a guy who is about to be named league MVP, flat out balling, 45 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm so disgusted with what I saw from Matt LaFleur yesterday. It's just inexcusable. We walked into this game. Let's call it what it is. Molly, Max, we walked into this game. What were we thinking? We want to see Aaron Rodgers get Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see Aaron Rodgers get Tom Brady. Now, if a Steve Kerr or a John Paxson or somebody, Max, takes the winning jump shot, who gave him the ball? It was MJ. You make that call. You don't sit up. Even Phil Jackson knew better than to sit up there and have somebody else make the call other than Jordan. You give the man the ball and you say, take me to the promised land. But because of analytics and all of these folks out there talking about probabilities and all of this other stuff about your chances of converting a fourth and goal at the 8-yard line, God forbid that I give it to the man. Now, listen, I'm not letting Kevin King off the hook. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This cornerback right here, It should be difficult for him to walk the street of any NFL city. His performance was an embarrassment. Gave up the touchdown to Mike Evans to begin the game. Gave up the touchdown at the end of the first half to Scotty Miller, letting him get behind you when there's only 8 seconds on the, or 6 seconds on the clock. And everybody has seen it, whether it was against the Raiders or throughout his history. Tom Brady takes chances in situations like that. And then the pass interference call when you grabbed on the dude's jersey, which ultimately led to Tom Brady then being able to convert a first down. But Matt LaFleur, at the end of the day, it's your job to oversee the team. It's your job to let defensive coordinator Mike Pettine know that you can't have a cornerback in single coverage. You got no help over the top. And it's also Matt LaFleur's responsibility to recognize the fact that I've got this bad man, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going down with the ship. He coached scared. He choked. And at the end of the day, this will be a lasting memory as far as I'm concerned. I got more to say, but the floor is yours.
He did choke. He absolutely choked. If by he you mean Aaron Rodgers, why are you trying to shift the blame Aaron off Rodgers of Aaron Rodgers? Read my lips. Aaron Rodgers choked.
Whoa.
Aaron Rodgers choked.
I haven't heard anybody say that.
Here's the bottom line. He and Tom Brady were playing each other, and there was enormous legacy on the line. Enormous. Because people like me, and I really believe, like, I'm shocked that it went down the way it did. Thought, come on, everyone knows Rodgers is better than Brady. Talk to anyone who's played against either guy. They're like, of course Rodgers is better. Rodgers has all the decision-making plus much more talent. Brady was going to be great wherever he was, but lucky that he was with Belichick. And I don't care how loaded the Bucs are. Brady went to 9 Super Bowls with Belichick, barely lost 3 of them. And then goes to Tampa, and I don't care how loaded they are. He's in the Super Bowl again, year 1. Belichick was 7-9. Yeah, Brady stacked the deck in his favor, but whatever. And Brady wasn't even great last night until he needed to be. Then he made the plays. Let's go back to the end of the second half. Aaron Rodgers had 3 shots to link up with Devontae Adams. They'd have scored a touchdown. They blew it. They blew it. If Rodgers had passed more accurately, they would have scored a touchdown. He was unable to link up with Devontae Adams. They kicked the field goal. That also led to a decision to go for an extra point instead of kicking a point, right? So they're going for 8 instead of 7. They wind up with 6. They had to kick a field goal instead of score a touchdown. Those points added up. In fact, it's the margin of defeat. It's the margin of victory for Tampa. But that's at the end of the half. Remember how Brady responded? Took him right down the field and threw a touchdown pass. Now, what happened late in the game on the play you're talking about with LaFleur? You're trying to somehow shift the blame to LaFleur. Oh, he shouldn't have kicked the field goal. Yeah, he shouldn't have kicked the field goal. Of course, they should have gone for it. What happened on the previous play? Aaron Rodgers had daylight. He would have run it in for a touchdown. Worst case scenario for the Packers, they'd have got him on the 1-yard line. You know what would have happened? LaFleur would have gone for it. If they were on the 1-yard line, LaFleur, if it's 4th and goal, LaFleur goes for it. They weren't. Rodgers made a bad decision. Rodgers is better than Tom Brady in every single aspect of the game up until it matters most. And then Tom Brady's better than Aaron Rodgers. And that's why the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl, and in his entire career, Rodgers, who they won 13 games last year, is going to be the MVP this year. Improved from last year, this year, with the money on the line, didn't come through, and Tom Brady did, and that's why the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl and the Packers aren't.
That's just the most asinine opinion I've ever heard you give. Aaron Rodgers choked, please. Aaron Rodgers was born. Tom Brady said actually was really, really struggling in the second half with his 3 interceptions, okay? He was overthrown. He was underthrown. He threw in 3 interceptions. He missed open receivers. Don't get me started with that. That's number one. Number two. Yes, Aaron Rodgers could have ran for the or at least come close to the goal line on the 3rd down play. I get that. Aaron Rodgers specifically said he thought he had 4 downs. He might have approached things differently in the event that he knew that the coach was going to sit up there and not go for it on 4th down because you were in a 1st and goal kind of situation. Aaron Rodgers said that. Matt LaFleur is on the record. LaFleur is on the record stating that the communication between the two should have been better. He sat up there and said he should have let him know. He should have made him recognize the kind of mindset that he had. So he wasn't communicating with his quarterback, just like he wasn't communicating with his defensive coordinator when he sat up there and left Kevin King alone, get burnt all day, just schooled. You're going to sit up there and leave him in single coverage with no help over the top with 6 seconds left in the half with Tom Brady as your quarterback. And then the most egregious part of it all, the fourth and goal play where you took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. Why do you do that, Max Kellerman? Let's dissect that for 1 second here. He's a six-time champion. He's been to 9 Super Bowls. The dude's record, his play in the clutch, which Molly could articulate just as well as anybody, okay, is well chronicled. You sit up there and take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left because you want your defense to prevent Tom Brady from getting a first down. Not driving down the field for a tying touchdown. Not driving down the field needing a field goal. All he needed was a first down.
Then we'll stop
and you're going to sit up there and hand Tom Brady the ball back when all he needs is a first down? Do you have any idea how dumb that is on Matt LaFleur's part?
I agree, but if not for the PI call, they would have stopped them. And by the way, they missed the holding call on Wirfs on the same play.
If not for the PI call, the guy would have caught the pass because the reason he didn't catch the pass.
I don't even know if that was catchable.
Excuse me, you could say that, but the guy's jersey was ranked. It was yanked. And that
on the same play, Wirfs held the defender. The right tackle held the defender. And I know some people on Twitter are going, no, he didn't actually hold because there's a rule in place that if you get under it. If you looked at the whole play, Wirfs hooked him early, rode him the whole way. It was textbook holding.
Okay.
And they didn't call that.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm not looking to blame a play or a call or a missed call. I'm not looking to blame a coach.
I gave you a litany of examples of how to coach this
game.
I'm
not looking to blame a coach. Whatever you say that cuts this way and that way, Rodgers had chances in this game where he didn't come through and Tom Brady did, period.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers sat up there. He threw, 300-plus yards. The brother was throwing dimes all afternoon long. Now, there was 2 3 and outs in the third quarter. Obviously, you got to hold him accountable for that. You hit the goal line, you got to convert. I understand that, okay? He should have ran on that throw, that ensuing play, that third down.
Right.
Absolutely. Listen, that's one play. I gave you a litany of items where Matt LaFleur, whether it's your defensive coordinator, the decision that was being made, or him.
How about the series with Adams right before the first half?
Scared. That's what he did.
The difference in the game, he had 3 shots in the red zone at Devontae Adams. He missed them all 3 times. They were unable to hook up. At one point, a pass got batted down. On the other side, Tom Brady took him right down the
field
and scored a touchdown.
There is so much to talk about today. I am so excited for this entire show. Let's keep it moving. We are getting back to this. Don't you worry. We're getting back to this.
We're
bringing other voices. Here it goes. All right. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, y'all, with 2 firsts yesterday, Tampa becomes the first team to host a Super Bowl and play in it, and his first Super Bowl appearance without Bill Belichick, a record 10. Tom?
You know, now home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing.
Tom's a GOAT. Last year, I think we ended 7-9, and right now we're headed to the Super Bowl. And he's probably the biggest reason we are where we are.
Okay, that prompted this Twitter response from one of Brady's biggest critics. Tom Brady has had a full Hall of Fame career in the time since I made the Cliff prediction. Well done, Max Kellerman. I got to say is bet on Brady. I was always taught bet on yourself, also bet on Tom
Brady. Unless he's facing Eli Manning, but that's right.
Oh,
that's
okay.
True. Okay,
stay focused. All right, what did Tom prove getting this done without Bill Belichick? Because that was the big storyline heading into the season. Is it Belichick? Is it Brady? And
he proved everything. He proved everything. This was an enormous legacy game. I tried to say beforehand, Brady had the most to gain in these entire playoffs, and he did it. He's going back to the Super Bowl. He bested Montana. Montana, who was 4-0 in Super Bowls, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, and then, he has Jerry Rice, and he's in a great system. He goes to Kansas City, takes him to the AFC Championship game. Brady did one better. He goes to the NFC, goes to the Bucks, and takes him to the Super Bowl by beating Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers on the road. Brees, after losing to Brees and his team twice, and Aaron Rodgers is the MVP, and he goes on the road and beats them by outplaying them when it counted. I talked about Aaron Rodgers just now. Drew Brees also. Fourth quarter, what's going to happen? Tie game. We know what's going to happen. Brady ain't going to mess it up. He was amazing. He's been amazing. When I say he's had a full Hall of Fame career since I made the Cliff prediction, I just got to give it up. If from the moment I made the Cliff prediction, it's been five seasons, any quarterback who ever lived had a five-year career and said, okay, I'm going to hang it up, and did what Brady just did, four Super Bowl appearances, playing the way he's played, only one season really where he wasn't great. He was only okay at the last season in New England, which it does appear now was because of what everyone was saying, lack of weapons. Because when you gave him weapons, he was great when he needed to be. He proved that not only is he the greatest of all time, but in fact, he's been better than Aaron Rodgers, which I never thought was the case. If you have the requisite arm strength, then in fact, what it turns out is decision-making and leadership are the most important things at the quarterback position. We've seen it with Brady time and again. It was important for him to do it without Belichick. I don't care how stacked the Bucs were. He just did it. I stand down. He is the GOAT and the boat and everything else.
Want to throw in a whoops or oops there, too?
No need.
I'm just asking. I'm just checking.
You sure? It was a solid tweet.
You good? Huh?
It was a solid tweet. A Hall of Fame career since he made the Cliff
prediction.
Congratulations.
Here's the deal. Bill Belichick, in terms of what Tom Brady has proven, he's proven nothing as it pertains to Bill Belichick. When we look at Bill Belichick, the greatness of Bill Belichick as a coach, this doesn't compromise Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's ascension in the NFC, with his 1 year going from New England, has proved nothing against Bill Belichick, the coach. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, the GM, looks incredibly, incredibly bad. I would remind everybody, one of the biggest reasons Tom Brady wanted out was clearly Bill Belichick wouldn't kiss the ring, but also because he was bereft of talent in New England and people were, like you, were thinking Tom Brady was done, as opposed to appreciating the lack of weapons that he was working with and still managing to get the New England Patriots to the playoffs. And obviously the three consecutive Super Bowls in which he won two. Let's remember that. In the end, what it comes down to is just in recent memory, let's recall that you had an opportunity to get A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf. Bill Belichick drafted N'Keal Harry. Let's recall that even though we respect the skill set of Sony Michel because he can't run with the football, no question about that, we forget that Bill Belichick passed up on Lamar Jackson to get Sony Michel. Think about what the New England Patriots would have looked like this year with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback instead of Cam Newton. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's really highlighted what Tom Brady was working with, what he was working against, what he didn't have available to him. And it also elevated his zest to depart because people were writing him off and assuming he was done. And what he was saying is, no, he ain't going to come out and say, I don't have much to work with. I'm strapped. I'm handcuffed. He ain't going to do that. He ain't going to throw his teammates under the bus like that. But that's clearly how he was feeling. And so to be in Tampa right now, heading to the Super Bowl. And by the way, they did it last night without Antonio Brown, who did not play. Scotty Miller is no joke. He's no Julian Edelman. He's no Danny Amendola.
No, he got afterburners.
I mean, this brother, what do you want? What do you want? It's a 4-3? This brother, I mean, he's their primary deep threat. It ain't Mike Evans. It ain't Chris Godwin. It damn sure ain't Gronk or Brady. It's him. So Scotty Miller is no joke. But in the end, what it comes down to is with him, and the dudes that I just mentioned, Tom Brady has weapons. And when it came down to him, it was good enough to get you to a Super Bowl appearance in your first year with another team.
I want to say something about Tom Brady having weapons. That's important. And Bill Belichick went 7-9 with nothing. COVID, and he lost players off the defense before the season even started, and Brady left them high and dry with nothing in the cupboard, and he went 7-9 because he's a great coach. Tom Brady went to a stacked team and took him to the Super Bowl. Just because you're stacked don't mean you're going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. A lot of stacked teams ain't in the Super Bowl right now. But even if it's Brady just analyzing what he needs and going there, that also is to his credit. LeBron does the same thing. LeBron knows if I can play with this guy and this guy, I can make a run. And then he does all the time. Floyd Mayweather did the same thing. I can fight this guy at this stage in his career. In other words, the best in the business are also the best evaluators of talent, of situation, of opponent. That doesn't mean because Tom Brady put himself in a great situation, it takes away from his greatness for getting there. If anything, it shows you that his understanding of the game is more profound than everyone else's. I have to give it up. Brady proved everything in so far in these playoffs. Even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, he proved everything.
See how slick Max is? See how slick it is? Because you see, he wants the segment to end with that. So we forget the years we've been listening to him say otherwise.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
But right now, let's get back to yesterday, folks. The Chiefs made easy work of the Bills, 38-24. Patrick Mahomes, boy, is he something special. At 25 years old, he could have two Super Bowl rings, two Super Bowl MVPs, and an MVP award before this postseason is over. Max.
Yeah.
Can this man ever be rivaled?
No.
Or is he just too good for everybody else?
One day, maybe, there'll be a guy even better than Mahomes. I haven't seen him. He has all the things Aaron Rodgers has, plus that drawing up plays in the dirt thing that Brett Favre had. And even Brett Favre said it on this show. He has that gunslinger thing where he's just having fun out there and all those things they say about Favre. And he's electric like that. And his team obviously loves him and follows him like that. But how are you like that without any of the bad decisions? What I just said earlier was, when it comes down to it, not only is Tom Brady the greatest, but he's the best because, as it turns out, if you have the requisite arm strength, decision-making is the most important thing. Mahomes has that level of decision-making, plus he's just having fun out there, right? Plus he's gunslinging. Remember that little shovel pass to Travis Kelce from a couple yards? It was, and Tony Romo was like, well, you know, that's just, it's an easy thing. Actually, to have the wherewithal to make that pass under those circumstances on that stage in traffic. No, I was actually impressed by that. It's like when you see The Matrix. I thought The Matrix was really interesting, the way they did that movie, because until The Matrix, whenever you saw someone going super fast, they sped up the action for the character, right? The Matrix said, why don't we show it from the point of view of the character and we can show the action? They slowed everything down. The character is seeing it all in slow motion. That's what watching Mahomes looks like. It's all happening for him in super slow motion. And then you add talent, the likes of which, if we've ever seen it, it's only been from Rodgers. And Mahomes is bigger and stronger, and he can really run. I don't see his equal in the NFL, and to be honest, I never have.
I do. Give me Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I tell you that Deshaun Watson could be his equal. I tell you that Aaron Rodgers could be his equal. Hell, in 2 weeks from now, I might tell you Tom Brady could be his equal. If you're talking to me about those weapons, I am sick and tired of people ignoring the weapons. Did you see Tyreek Hill last night? Did y'all see this, brother? I'm talking about after the catch. After the catch. I mean, did you see it?
Yeah.
I know what I saw. Look at this brother
almost
right here.
Almost took it to the house.
Look at him. Look at him. I mean, just keep showing the plays right. Damn. This brother is spectacular. I would remind y'all, when we think about the Kansas City Chiefs being favorites right now, they're opening up as favorites. Obviously, Tampa Bay is opening up as underdogs for Super Bowl 55. Do you know what I can make an argument of? Patrick Mahomes ain't the biggest reason why. Tyreek Hill's the biggest reason why. Last time Tampa Bay saw him, he had 7 receptions for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. The first quarter. I here. He finished with 13 receptions, 269 yards for the game. But I'm just saying, the first quarter, 7 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 203 yards. Did you see the 2 times? One time he backpedaled into the end zone. The other time he backflipped. I mean, just toying with him. This dude is, Dominique Foxworth said it, but he's a problem. That's how special Tyreek Hill is.
Travis Kelce, too.
Travis Kelce's a stud, future Hall of Famer, best tight end in football. Been telling y'all that, brother from another mother. Let me tell you something. When you look at these dudes, they're so spectacular. I'm not trying to say, listen, I know several people on the Kansas City Chiefs. They know how I feel about Patrick Mahomes. He's phenomenal. He's great. I'm not questioning that. I get in a tizzy when everyone acts like he's the only one that can do what he does with those weapons.
He's the only one with those weapons.
He's the only one with those weapons. Yep. He's the only one that can do if Aaron Rodgers had those weapons.
He has Devontae Adams. He missed him three times under pressure at the end of the first half.
How many passes were dropped, too? Let's not forget that. How many times have we looked at Green Bay? Listen, Valdes-Scantling had a good game yesterday. No question about it. But I'm just saying, you look at some of their receivers, you don't compare them to what Kansas City's throwing at you with Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and these boys. You know, and then I'm looking at it from that perspective. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy coaching you instead of Matt LaFleur. I mean, come on now. Or Bill O'Brien. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, when you look at other guys, as phenomenal as Patrick Mahomes is, and he is, give some of those other dudes those weapons and let's see what we see.
In team sports, a lot of times, especially in football, it's so interdependent on your team, every position. A lot of times, who winds up being the GOAT or the best ever, whatever, has to do with teammates. I'm not debating that Tyreek Hill, the fastest land mammal, and Travis Kelce, the best pass-catching tight end, clearly in the game, right? And one of the best ever. Don't give Mahomes an advantage because they do. I mean, I'll point out, though, Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James. He didn't go to the Super Bowl every year. And Peyton Manning, during the regular season...
Because he was going against Belichick and Brady and a better team.
Well, I mean, no, that's not the only reason. He wasn't stopped by New England.
I didn't say it's the only reason. That's a big reason.
He wasn't stopped by New England every year.
Most of the time.
Aaron Rodgers has weapons this year, and he's had weapons in the past. To try to say that because Patrick Mahomes has great teammates, some great teammates, especially on offense, that somehow takes away from his greatness is ridiculous.
I didn't say that.
Patrick Mahomes, as a rookie, went 50-12 touchdowns to interceptions. As a second-year player, he improved that ratio. He won the MVP as a rookie, Super Bowl MVP as a second-year player. This year, he improved the ratio again.
I got Max. Because you see, you know how Max likes to switch questions and stuff like that? I recall a question being, can he be rivaled? Not that it takes away from his greatness. It could be, as you would say, it ain't about knocking folks down, it's lifting them up, right? What I'm saying to you is that it's about whether or not someone else can be that great.
Okay, let me explain it. Deshaun Watson, that's right. Deshaun Watson is great. I love Deshaun Watson. So is Aaron Rodgers, if we're just talking talent. They don't have the same talent as
Mahomes.
That's
what I want to know. What's the difference? What does Patrick Mahomes have that Aaron Rodgers does not have besides weapons?
I would say Mahomes, I said, is a little bigger and stronger, little better runner. And same level of decision maker under pressure. I'd say even a better decision maker.
Better running than Deshaun Watson?
And I'm talking about Rodgers first.
Rodgers.
And his arm is a little more electric even.
Okay.
Than I think he has like a Brett Favre arm. And yet it's just as accurate at least as Rodgers.
So he's a tick above in most categories.
And I have a feeling like he galvanizes his team. Like
he's
the whole
a better
thing
leader.
About the gunslinger and they're drawing the plays up in the dirt. He's just having fun out there, what they said about Favre. That's Mahomes. Now take away all of Favre's interceptions.
I'm supposed to answer that. So he's talking about galvanizing his team. We've lamented Bill O'Brien. You talked about how the Texans organization, how awful they look at this particular moment in time. That's what Deshaun Watson has been working with.
He's great.
Okay. So what are we saying?
Deshaun Watson is great.
I'm just saying the
he
point
ain't
of
home.
Traded
home.
Away DeAndre Hopkins. All right.
Yeah, and taking away DeAndre Hopkins.
We got to keep it rolling. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, The majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers hugely disappointed, rightfully so, after losing his fourth NFC championship game. He made news afterwards with comments concerning his future in Green Bay. Like, listen.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. It's really tough to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks.
You know what I like about him? He's very introspective. Seems grounded, like Dan Orlovsky. Dan, good to see
you.
Firing people
up
on Get Up all day this morning, and I'm sure you're going to do it here too. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you, since this one is so near and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. One of your true loves, Aaron Rodgers. Should he want to go back and play in Green Bay?
No. If I was him, I'd want out. It's not going to happen. Yeah. We understand that. But, you know, I'm very serious when I say this, Dan. I'm not joking around by any stretch of the imagination. I think he should want out. I don't think he should want to be there. I think from the time that they drafted Jordan Love and put their succession plan right in front of their face, we walked into this season believing that Aaron Rodgers had a few years left, a few years. And yet we looked at him and we saw that the Green Bay Packers clearly made a statement that we were moving in a forward direction and we were planning for life without you. I find that to be very insulting. And I think that when you consider you're Matt LaFleur, again, you got the job being the 27th ranked, the offensive coordinator of the 27th ranked offense in the National Football League when you were with the Tennessee Titans. And somehow, some way, you managed to get this job anyway. You go back-to-back 13-3 seasons with berths to the NFC title game. But clearly, you're Aaron Rodgers. This is the same Aaron Rodgers that was once told by the organization that shut up and go play. We make the decisions. You go out there and play. They've disregarded him for years, his wishes, et cetera, et cetera. This past season, when he threw two passes to Tavon Austin, it was the first time in his career he had thrown a pass to a first-round wide receiver pick in the NFL draft. It was the first time he did it in his career. You have just disregarded this man's wishes. You've disregarded what this man needs. You've rode his coattails and his shoulders for years and years and years. And then to culminate everything and punctuate it with what I consider to be an incredibly insulting decision on the path of Matt LaFleur. When you decide to kick a field goal with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left, you're in a fourth and goal situation. I understand it might have been daunting considering what transpired previously, but in the end, electing to give the ball back to Tom Brady when all Tom Brady needed was a first down, not a field goal, not a touchdown, just one first down to seal the deal. That's all he needed. And instead, you elect to go that route instead of telling Aaron Rodgers, this is why you get paid the big bucks. This is why you are that bad man. Go get it done. Instead of doing that, you make that decision. To me, it was the final last straw. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to accept his phone calls. I don't want to look at him. You have shown you, I don't give a damn about what you had to say in the press conference. You have shown me. You don't trust me. You don't believe in me as much as I want you to. I need to go elsewhere. Now, it's not going to happen. But you ask me, what should Aaron Rodgers feel like, meaning what should he want to happen? What should he do? If I was him, that's what I'd want to do.
Ridiculous to pin this right now on anyone but Rodgers. I mean, it's a team effort, but Rodgers' failures are his own from yesterday. Of course, it was a bad mistake. It was a bad decision. It was a blunder by LaFleur to kick the field goal instead of going for it. You know, maybe if Rodgers on the previous play would have run when he had daylight, scored a touchdown, we wouldn't have to argue about it. At worst, he'd have been stopped on the one, and then guess what? LaFleur would have gone for it, fourth and one. Now, maybe he was thinking about from the eight, that's a little bit different. Maybe he was remembering back to, I don't know, the end of the first half when Rodgers had three shots at Davante Adams and couldn't get it done, and then Brady came right back and got it done with a touchdown bomb. And by the way, they did stop the Bucs. The Bucs received a generous PI call. I don't know if that's a catchable ball, but the ref, who, like, you call a PI down the field, Wirfs clearly was holding from the start of that play. Hooked his man, rode him, textbook holding. They didn't call that. So if it's even called fairly, it's not what wound up happening. Maybe they do stop the Bucs. Yes, it was a mistake. But no, that doesn't mean Rodgers should leave. They are 13-3 for the second consecutive season with LaFleur. 13-3, they won a playoff game against Seattle. 13-3 again, and they won two playoff games. They're heading in the right direction. Should Rodgers be mad that they drafted his successor? Of course, just as Brett Favre was when they drafted Rodgers. That's how Green Bay does. That's their MO. That is how they operate. But now that they drafted his successor and they're having more success year after year, you have to imagine they can use this draft to go get him help finally. No. Rodgers, if you can point to a team and say that is a much better situation, Rodgers should go there at this point in his career. Okay, but I don't know that I see that. What don't the Packers have? What glaring hole?
Right.
They have a great lead wide out. They have a running back. They have a quarterback. They have an offensive line. Their defense was trending in the right direction toward the end of the year, and now they don't have to worry about Rodgers' successor using that draft capital. Why would he want to leave? Learning LaFleur's system, he won 13 games. Once he knew it, he won the MVP. You want to leave that? Why, Stephen A? Because Rodgers couldn't get it done under pressure, and now you want to blame LaFleur? Get out of here.
Max, I think you make some great points, especially when it comes to Aaron Rodgers outside of Green Bay. I mean, I don't think he'll play anywhere but Green Bay next season. He's going to go into his 17th year. If Aaron is going to choose to leave, he has to find a situation that's got the great coaching, the great offensive line, the number one receiver. I mean, his best friend David Bakhtiari plays, his left tackle. Like, there's not a lot of rosters that are set up to be as good as Green Bay, like as Super Bowl worthy as Green Bay, and also the friendships that he's built in Green Bay. But if you so football wise, I don't see a lot of realistic options. You could throw teams out there, but the Packers aren't giving Aaron Rodgers away. Like, they're not going to go, hey, Aaron runs their go here, so we'll take a first rounder for him. Like, you're going to give me four first rounders. So, like, that's the reality of a realistic option. Now, if you tell me that he emotionally is upset, like because of the draft pick and because of not going for it on fourth down, and he's bothered by that, I could have a little bit more of a conversation with that. But like, we're talking about a guy that was four interceptions. I mean, MVP of the NFL. It's going to be very difficult for him to sit back and go, oh, you know what? That team's the one that get us over the hump. You know, Max points out that they're 26-6. Now, Max, here's where I'll dispute with you. Do not sit here and say that yesterday was about Aaron Rodgers not getting it done and point to missing Davante Adams three times in the first half. First of all, the first one is just as much of a drop as it is a missed throw. The second down, Lazard doesn't go to the right person. Lazard messes up that play. And the third down, it's a bang, bang, get your feet down play. So, like, we can't phrase it as he didn't get it done.
Oh, yeah, he didn't. He didn't get it done.
Max,
it was not
he was
a
remarkable
great...
yesterday. Max, he was remarkable yesterday. Like, we're not pinning this loss on Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to sit there a month from now when he's emotionally decompressed and go, I've got 2-3 years left, maybe 4 of big time football, closer to a Super Bowl win or Super Bowl appearance or a Super Bowl win at somewhere outside of Green Bay. I don't see that as a realistic thought process for Aaron.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, Max Kellerman, be careful about raising your voice because I think you know you have no shot in hell of being louder than me. Okay, so just calm down. That's number one. Number two, Dan Orlovsky, you know, if you're going to sit up there and pick apart my argument, just quote me accurately. What I definitely acknowledge that the likelihood of Aaron Rodgers being let go by Green Bay is slim to none. We understand
right. He's
going to be there. But really, it's about what should Aaron Rodgers want? And what I did was highlight the treatment that he has received. We saw him yesterday. We saw him at the beginning of the season. We talked this year about while he was performing, how he had a little chip on his shoulder, a little edge because of some of the things that transpired with the Green Bay Packers. And when you bring up the 17th year, I want you to take a moment, Dan Orlovsky, to imagine yourself. It's 17 years. You've performed at a very, very elite level. And you don't feel that the respect and deference that should be accorded to you has been accorded to you. Because Aaron Rodgers, whether subtly, tacitly, directly, or otherwise, this man has spoken about these things over the last several years. So when we look at the record, you could sit up there, both of you could say, well, Matt LaFleur is 13-3 back-to-back seasons. I would say to you that a quarterback that has thrown for over 8,300 yards, that has thrown 74 touchdowns and just 9 interceptions in that span might be the biggest reason why that is.
No doubt.
And so all I'm trying to say is that Aaron Rodgers, listen, well, you can say that, but I can point to Aaron Rodgers being in NFC Championship games with Mike McCarthy. I can point to him winning a Super Bowl championship with Mike McCarthy. I can point to Mike McCarthy, no disrespect to him, but essentially riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers all of those years. So what I'm saying is when we look at a guy, of course there are other things that come with being a head coach other than just a quarterback position. Please let's not act like we need to be literal here. I'm just saying the bottom line is the Green Bay Packers are about Aaron Rodgers, and everybody seems to know that, but the people who run the Green Bay Packers.
Stephen A., like, where should he go? Where should he want to go? Saying not the Packers,
me. I mean, I think stuff like San Francisco, Chicago, Pittsburgh, I think stuff like that. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. Again, I'm just talking about if I'm frustrated, if I don't feel appreciated, and I've been in this league for 17 years and I feel disrespected, that's going to lead to me wanting out. That's all I'm saying, guys. Let's not act like this far-fetched. You have been covering boxing and other sports. Dan Orlovsky, you played football. Y'all know what I'm saying has credence in that regard. There's plenty of dudes that have been frustrated and might want out because they want to go someplace else because they feel like there's a respect. Like, we're looking at a guy in Tom Brady that's going to the Super Bowl. Why did he leave New England, Dan? Because of how he felt he was being treated by Bill Belichick.
But they were going backwards in New England.
I'm talking
because
about Tom Brady.
Stunk.
But he wanted him wanting the lead.
No, what I'm saying is they were going backwards in New England. They're going forwards in Green Bay. They're getting better. They're getting closer.
And Stephen A., like, I would say this, like, if not for that Devontae Adams drop on first down in the goal line or in the red zone, if not for Kevin King playing a terrible rep right before the half on the Scotty Miller touchdown, if
hold
not
up.
For Kevin King's pass interference,
Dan.
We're not having this conversation. We're not sitting here going, does Aaron Rodgers want out of Green
Bay? No, that's not
fair,
Dan. I got you now. I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying to you is right now, this morning, is Aaron Rodgers thinking about that, or is he thinking about a coach that elected to kick a field goal instead of giving me an opportunity to tie this game with 2 minutes left? What's he thinking about, Dan? You played that position. What's he thinking about, Dan?
You're 100% right,
Stephen.
That's all
I'm saying.
He is sitting there going, I agree with you. But here's, like, and at the end of the day, you got to lose that game because your Hall of Famer's not good enough.
That's all I'm saying.
No. What Aaron Rodgers should be thinking about is why I didn't run.
Max,
he needs to ask himself, why didn't the previous play?
All right, Max, then answer the damn question, Max.
What's that?
Is Aaron Rodgers thinking about most this morning?
I hope that about his own mistake.
See, that's right there. That's dishonest, Max.
Okay.
You know what he's thinking about, Max.
Okay, let's
you
say,
know that.
Let's say he's thinking about Chicago, right? Go in the division and try to win. Does he have a better or worse chance than Green Bay?
Max. He's thinking about they drafted a quarterback.
Max. What's he think about this morning, Max? The coach took the ball out of his hands, Max.
If Aaron Rodgers If Aaron Rodgers is the champion that he has been and might be once again, the only way to be that champion again is to think about his own
mistakes
yesterday.
That's philosophical drivel. That does not answer my damn question.
And the next day.
What is he thinking about right now?
I don't know that he's thinking about
it. Come on, Matt.
I don't know what he's thinking about.
You know what he's thinking about. You took one play? Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you know what? I believe you. I believe you. You might not know better.
I think he's thinking, if he's salty about anything, it's drafting his replacement instead of getting him a little
this
help.
Morning?
No, I'm saying.
No, he's sitting
this
there saying,
season.
He is sitting there saying, I wish I had the chance to, on fourth down, make a play. I wish
make a play
I had,
on third down.
Because then you could at least put your head on the pillow. No, you could at least rest your head on the pillow and say, I wasn't good enough.
Dan, always good stuff. We'll see you on NFL Live later, firing people up. Stay safe.